You're listening to the Isoca podcast. In this offstage and off-script podcast, we're at Isoca's North America CAX conference. Right now, we're speaking with Thomas Bauman, who presented on a session titled Protect Your Data Against Insider Threats. Thank you so much for joining us today. So I guess our first question is, why should organizations care about insider threats?
Well, insiders are among the most frequent people who attack data. Sometimes external threats and internal threats are mixed because credential of insiders might be stolen and used by external people, but that's also detected by monitoring insider credentials.
Do you think that organizations put the appropriate amount of emphasis on insider threats?
I think in the last few years it was a growing attention to this. A couple of years ago it wasn't; it was more or less neglected, but now it's much better.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned an example involving Scottish whiskey. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that one?
Yeah, we had 10 countermeasures against detecting a secret recipe of the latest Scotch blend, and then we kind of used this analogy to explain much better what's encryption, what's monitoring, and what's the benefit of it. It's much easier for them to understand if they see how it works in a distillery, it should work in our shop as well.
And so a lot of people know that they should be aware in big variances when it comes to monitoring their users' activity, but why might people also want to worry about not seeing enough variance?
If you extract data, let's say 1,000 customers each day, then probably you want to do something specific with that. The normal working is just a little bit of variance with it. It's like your heart rate, you have always a little bit variance in it. If you don't have any variance, you'll be dead.
Why is it important to classify data based on its importance to the organization, and how do you go about doing that?
It's important because it's not very efficient to have, for example, encrypted all your data. So you have to classify what's worth encryption and what is not. And the most difficult part of this is to find people who are responsible for their data, kind of data ownership. Establishing data ownership is one of the most difficult problems here. But once you get started with that, classification is quite easy after that.
And so a lot of times when we talk about unintentional data loss, we're also talking about users who maybe aren't the most technologically savvy and give away their credentials or something like that. So in the case of an event of unintentional data loss, how exactly can organizations handle that the insider risk when it comes to somebody just not knowing and giving away their information?
One of the measures against that is data anonymization. So kind of mask the data content specifically for those data used in test or pre-production environments. That helps a lot because people don't care much about their data if it's not production data.
How can artificial intelligence algorithms be used to analyze potential threats?
In the case of database activity monitoring, they can be trained to detect what is normal behavior, what's regular behavior. So they detect everything that's outside this regular pattern. They can detect excesses which don't belong to the daily use, to the everyday business of the employees.
And just to briefly follow up on that, are you seeing that with the rise of AI, are you seeing these kinds of use cases increasing quite a bit? Do you anticipate more of this in the coming years?
Yeah, I think so, certainly, because not just outlier detection is a problem. Also, we can use artificial intelligence methods to correlate data from, let's say, database activity monitoring tools and from other sources.
Mm-hmm. And so there have been so many recent breaches that have happened. How might some of them have been different had they followed some of the steps that you outlined in your session?
Typically, the pattern is very different, but what they all have in common is they use a certain period where people is trying to access data and producing a lot of errors in the first phase. Detecting these errors is crucial to detect the start of the attack and to prevent it.
Can you address the concept of speculative execution and how that factors into insider threats?
you know, speculative execution put some data, more or less valuable data, in some memory areas where it's not longer used for processing. But those memory areas might be accessed from hackers. Because normally you don't care about protecting specifically these memory areas. And database systems work pretty much a lot following a speculative execution paradigm. So they read a lot of data, maybe encrypted data from disk into memory, use a little bit of it, and the rest, the remainder of it is staying in memory and ready to be accessed by hackers.
Are there any potential drawbacks to that approach, though?
You know, these memory parts might need better access control, so that we can also figure out who is directly accessing that. But currently we don't do that, and I don't know any of the tools which do that.
And then finally, is there anything else that you want to add for our listeners, or was there anything that you didn't have a chance to bring up in your session that you'd like to share with anybody?
You know, most important thing is don't encrypt all your data, but don't forget to encrypt the most important part of it and use monitoring wherever you can.
Thank you, Thomas. We really appreciate you sharing your insights with our podcast audience today.
Okay. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you so much.
For more on ISACA's North America Hacks Conference, visit www.isaca.org/NACACS.